My name is Jeremy Devins, and this is the Quiet Mind Yoga Podcast. And this is a special episode about doing a five-step plan to creating a mindful new year. And this is something that I highly recommend you journal or write about. But if you're just listening on the go, you can think about it right now and then get back to writing it later. And if you want a PDF that walks you through each of these steps, go to mindfulnewyear.com and get the free download. While it's still available in January 2019, it will be off of the site on February 1st. So go catch it and get that download while it's still there. And for today, I'm going to walk you through this process and tell you a little bit about why I created it and then walk you through each of the steps. So I think back to around 2008, I was focused completely on making music. I loved making music and it was my whole life. It was before I really got into yoga and meditation. And I just kind of built up this whole idea that I needed to get more equipment and get better at music and improve my skills, my experience, and to have this perfect album finished before I could be out in the world and like sharing that with anyone else. And really what it came down to was I was using that making music as a sort of way to avoid life and avoid taking risks and avoid putting myself out there because it's scary and vulnerable, and I didn't really have the awareness, the mindfulness, the skills to really find the sort of courage to be able to do that. And it's okay, like we all have these processes, we all have these times where we kind of feel maybe afraid of putting ourselves out there, and that's kind of where I was for a while. And then life kind of changed that for me. I didn't really have a choice anymore because I came home one day and my music equipment was gone. Somebody stole it. Somebody broke in and took away my crutch, my thing that I was using to avoid taking a leap in my life. So I couldn't do that anymore and I had to really reevaluate things. And I decided to stop using music as a crutch and saying, oh, I'm going to go make music and avoid friendship time and avoid putting my music out there, avoid playing shows. I need to go make music. I need to go make music. So I just gave myself 2 weeks. I got a free software, a trial download of this software so I could have 2 weeks to actually have something to show for it. And I would only use free software and whatever I had available and whatever I had left. Luckily, the thieves did not take one of my favorite guitar, so I still had that. But I ended up making what I think was my best music yet at that point, and it came out really well. I was very happy with it. I just fully focused on it for 2 weeks, all in, and by the end of that, I had something I was very happy with and shared it with some friends, and they were impressed, and it was really cool. Where I went from that was a whole nother story, but having that focus and that dedication to make that finished thing and stop making excuses was a game changer for me. It was life changing. And as I started to practice more yoga, meditation, and mindfulness in my free time, I started to become more aware of these little patterns and these ways that I was sort of maybe afraid or avoiding or using, you know, excuses, and just to stop making those excuses and stop hiding and really start to see. You know, I had a lot. I didn't really need more time and more equipment to make music. I already had a lot to give and a lot of experience and a lot of skill in that field. So as I eventually found this process a couple of years later, it's helped every year since become even more productive than I could have expected and more focused. And I've had less and less of these sort of excuses or hiding or sticking points. I still have them, of course. I'm always learning and growing, and I have my own challenges, and there's definitely always going to be that, but at least I have more skills and resources to work with them, and I can't say I've ever been stuck in that way like I was for about 4 years there, just like, I'm going to make music. Finally, I just made the music and moved on and, you know, went really far down that path and made a lot of music and performed, and I sort of realized that wasn't actually what I was looking for. Right. Once I actually was doing the thing, I realized I started getting more into yoga meditation, realized teaching yoga was really the thing I was really looking for, and that was very satisfying and fulfilling, and I focused much more on that, and you know, that's another story. But essentially, I was more self-aware and more cognizant of my patterns and behaviors and my choices and what was driving them, so I could make more mindful and intentional choices. and not get stuck. Like, for years I was stuck just saying, someday I'm going to put out this album. So, to my point now, I have this 5-step process that you can download, again, at mindfulnewyear.com, and I'm going to walk us through it right now. So if you're driving or out and about, you can think about these things, but I definitely highly, very much encourage you to write about these things. At least for me, I end up finding lots of little things I wouldn't have thought of otherwise because I took the time to dive in and write about them. So if you're writing, you can pause after each of my little explanations, or if you're out and about, you can just think about it. Maybe pause it as well after each of these things. So the first thing to think about is practices. So for me, I was developing my mindfulness practice. My meditation was just starting, really, the first 2 years or so I was into it in 2008, 10, 11 years ago. And that practice was the foundation of all of my growth and transformation from there. Just being able to start being mindful of my patterns, noticing what I was eating, when I was sleeping, what I was watching, what I was ingesting, energetically, emotionally, and the people I was around, the choices I was making. So having some sort of movement and mindfulness practice, I feel, is essential for everybody, right? We all need to have, there's this book called Eat, Move, Sleep, I think about a lot. So what we eat, what we take in our food has a huge impact on us. Our movement has a huge impact on us. If we are sedentary all day versus if we're active, we're going to be in a very different state of mind. And our sleep and our rest, if we're not well rested and recharged, we're going to be in a very different state than if we're well rested. So the first thing to think about, practices, movement and mindfulness practices. What movement practices nourish you, inspire you, energize you, help you focus, recharge you? Could be yoga, could be Pilates, could be Tai Chi, whatever it is, martial arts, jiu-jitsu. You know, there's so many choices now. It's incredible. And there's so many communities. If you live in a major city, you have access to so many awesome movement practices. So what movement practice really nourishes you? Next is the mindfulness practice, which you could think of meditation. Sitting meditation is a mindfulness practice, of course. It's kind of the main thing we think of. But I think gardening, or if you have something that really gets you into that space, yoga can be very much a mindfulness practice. But having something that I consider like attention training, right? So yoga could be distraction training if you're listening to loud music and you're just like thinking the whole time and not really in your body. That's totally possible. So attention training, so that you're able to focus your mind where you want, when you want, and not get sucked into distractions and notifications and social media and all this stuff that's pulling for your attention. We average person sees hundreds of advertisements every day, you know, so there's so much that's pulling for your attention all the time. So what mindfulness attention training practices do you have to focus and train your mind? All right, so those are the foundation, right? So you have that, and you know what those are, so you can set up your life around those later. Or if you already do, that's great. But if you don't already, having those as the foundation, the sort of first things you make sure you have in your week, can be incredibly helpful in achieving and doing and being all the other things you want to focus on. The next topic is celebration. So looking back at the past year, what went well and what worked, and what you're really proud of, like big moments, wins, celebrations. And this is something, this is really a process you can do every week, every month if you want, but definitely annually. It's amazing, you know, like for me, I had pretty low self-esteem, and I was pretty harsh on myself, I would say, self-critical back in the day, and just learning to sort of appreciate myself and see what I was doing well gave me a lot of momentum and energized me and helped me get out of that rut that I was in. So think about what wins you've had in the last year. There's probably a lot more if you kind of sit down with it. You'd be surprised how many are there. Next topic, special moments. This is a little different. Things that really stood out. Maybe you went on a special trip or a special occasion or birthday or event. There's only going to be a few of these, like really special standout moments. Next thing is, what did you learn in your work, in your dharma, your purpose? What are some of the main things that you learned? Like maybe, like for me, I've had this podcast going every Sunday consistently since the summer. It's about 6 months now, and that consistency is key, really key. And in my yoga teaching, the classes I teach, just being consistent and having a general like framework for the classes helps people know what to expect and feel safe, and then we can do variations and variety within that. But that consistency is one of the biggest business lessons I've learned in the last year, for sure. So what is it for you? It could be that you need an assistant, or that you learn to manage your money in a more effective way, or something like that. Whatever stands out to you that you want to remember that was a life lesson as far as your work and your passion. Which leads me to the next topic, which are specifically the life lessons that you've learned, right? Outside of your business and your work, but in your relationships, your health, your personal life, what did you learn about yourself and what do you want to remember? And if you could think of like 1 to 3 to 5 of those or more, that's awesome. There's probably some gems in there, some things that you might have forgotten about, or some. This gives you kind of perspective of, okay, what did I really learn from that challenge I experienced this year, that setback? For me, this past year, I was just kind of rebuilding all of my yoga teaching. So I went down to just a couple classes a week and focused on some other work outside of yoga, trying to see how that work-life balance would work. And I realized I just need to be teaching in some way. Like, that's what nourishes me the most. So I started all over and started working with a lot of different people and added a full-time teaching schedule. Now by the end of the year, I went from 1 to 2 classes a week to about 10 to 15 classes and events, teaching a full-time teaching yoga schedule. And for me personally, that is a business thing that I went through there. But personally, I realized like I feel most fulfilled and most alive in myself when I'm teaching, when I'm focused on my purpose, right? So I think for a lot of people, especially for me, like my purpose is a big part of myself, and I feel like I can be more myself when I'm not teaching, because I've had that expression, that outlet. So for me, those kind of tie together, but that's just an example. So okay, so the third big topic category step here in this 5-step process is intention. Right, so now you've kind of looked at the past year, you looked at what your foundation is and your practices. So now, what are your 5 main values in life? So this could be being, again, consistent, like following through on what you say you're going to do. Could be like supporting causes that matter to you. So like for me, it's good to obviously have an income and make a living, but if I'm not doing something service oriented, it doesn't feel right. Like I don't want to just make money for my own profit. Like I feel like I need to be giving back. So in November, I raised a bunch of money for a food bank in Austin, Texas, and that felt really good. Like that's a value for me. That's something that I need to be doing a service, basically a seva. So that's one of my values. So think about what values you have. It could be you think of the yamas and niyamas in yoga. There's non-harming, non-stealing, non-lying. You think of someone like Gandhi's whole life was an expression of the value of non-harming, ahimsa, right? So he made it a very big point to have non-violent protesting. So that could be one of your values. The next part of having intention is, what are the 5 main things, main priorities for the year? So it could be a specific goal, like maybe you want to start a business, maybe you want to start your own podcast. It could be something more general, of like you just want to practice mindfulness throughout your life, day to day, and just have that reminder to practice mindfulness. Maybe you want to write a book, right? So this is a good place to use SMART goals: specific, measurable, actionable, realistic, and time-bound goals, which could be I'm going to spend 30 minutes a day writing a page of a book so that I can have a finished book to publish by September 15th, 2019. Right, something like that, very specific and measurable, and you can have someone hold you accountable to that, and you can know you either did it or you did not, and if you didn't do it, you can adjust and keep going. So SMART goals can be really helpful there and very specific. It's good if you like if you do have a big goal like that, maybe like to lose weight. It's much better to say, I'm going to go to the gym 5 times a week at 8 a.m. Monday to Friday, and follow this specific plan to achieve my goal to weigh this much, right? So very specific and very measurable and time bound if you want to achieve a certain sort of milestone goal like that. So think about the 5 main priorities you have for this year, and even more powerful would be to focus on just one of those until it's done. So write 5 or more if you want, but which one of those will have the biggest impact on your life, your work, your relationships, if you focused on it all in, gave it your all until it was done? Like, which of those main priorities could have the biggest, most positive impact on your life? That's a good way to sort of prioritize. And it's funny, the word prioritize, it's really, there should only be one. There's only one priority. There's not 2 priorities, there's not 5 priorities. It's just one. So if you can really focus on just one of those, that's great. You know, obviously, you're going to need, it's not going to fill every 12 hours, 15 hours of your day every time. So there's going to be other stuff. So you can have like different habits throughout the day. You can have habit goals and things like that. But which one of those priorities is going to have the biggest impact? Next step, so the 4th step is integration. So you know your foundation of what practices work for you, and you've thought about where you could fit that into your schedule. You've thought about what went well last year in the celebration, and you've thought about in the intention of what you want to do this year and who you want to be. So next is integration of next steps. How are you going to do that in practical action steps? So one single small next step you can do today or tomorrow, no further. It's got to be now. Next step right in front of you, looking down and putting one foot in front of the other. That's how you continue to make progress. And that's how you avoid the overwhelm, right? If you go to a yoga class, they tell you one step at a time, right? There's not inhale, up dog, exhale, down dog, inhale, up dog, exhale, down dog. It's wait, you know, you do the inhale, and you, as a teacher, I inhale and I wait for everyone so I can notice that they're breathing in, and then I give the cue, right? So I'm not saying 5 cues at once. That would just overwhelm people and people would not come back. And you've probably experienced that at yoga class, where teachers go too fast and it's overwhelming and it's disruptive to your nervous system. So don't go too fast. Give yourself 1 cue at a time. Do the cue and give yourself another cue, right? So be kind to yourself. If you're a yoga teacher, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you don't want to rush your students. You don't want to rush people. You want to be with them, right? So be with each breath, each step, each asana or posture that you take in your life throughout your day, and not try to cram too many things in at once. And okay, so you can write a next step for your main priority, and if there's some habit goals, like you know, go to bed by 9 p.m. each day, what's the next step to set that up? Maybe you go to bed by 10:30 tonight, and then 10 next week. And you know, you kind of incrementally go down, but you do the one thing that's right in front of you now. The next part of the integration is visualization. So just now that you know what the next step is, see it, feel it, hear it, touch it, taste it, smell it, and then take the step, right? Just briefly check in and make sure that you can feel it. You know it's clear where you're going. You can see the outcome. It's within sight. And you keep your goals and your intentions and your direction in front of you. So you're present and clear on what's happening right now, grounded and present in the present moment, but also clear and focused on where you're going next. Same thing in the yoga class. For me as a teacher, I'm thinking, okay, if we're going to do back bends, we're going to start with some hip flexor openers, front of the hips. We're going to do some gentle back bends. So I know I have the vision at the end, we're going to do some bigger back bends like bow pose and dancer pose. But we're not going to start there. We're going to go step by step and ease into it. But the whole time I've got that vision. Okay, what is sort of one of the peak poses, you could say, or one of the bigger versions of this look like? And what do we need to do to get there? And just take the one next step right now. Okay, the final step of this 5-step process is support. And This is, I think, the most essential part, but it seems like it could be the easiest to overlook. So the first part is offering support. Who can you help? Who do you know that you have something that you could offer of value to them, which could just even be just saying, hey, I was thinking about you, wondering how you've been, we should hang out, and just kind of check in, right? You don't need to be like a guru or anything, but just to be somebody who is generous and who has something to give and help to give. And the only way you can offer support is by being full in yourself. Even if you don't feel like you are full, like you don't feel like you have a lot to give, just by being open and a vessel to give, something will come through. And in that way, by giving, you receive all that you could need. And they say, like I think Henry Ford said, if you want to, you can get anything you want if you help other people get what they want. Right? So thinking about what you can give in service to others. And for me, like, service is very important. So I think of that a lot. And just any small thing, or if there's big things, or maybe even just giving away your services if you're like maybe looking to get into a new business, or if you are a yoga teacher starting out, where can you teach for free a couple of times, or for donation, or just to kind of get your foot out there in the door, you know, starting, offering something. And then the last part is, who can you ask for support? And this is, again, very essential. I would not be half of who I am if I didn't have mentors and guides and teachers and supports. Everything I am is because of my teachers and guides. The books I've read, the people I've talked to, the teachers I've had, that is everything to me. So who are you going to learn from, right? If you're not actively choosing those people, it's going to unconsciously creep in through the social media you take in, the media you take in, the news, whatever. You're going to be taking in those thoughts and beliefs and patterns and putting out those thoughts and beliefs and patterns. So consciously choose who you want to ask for support, and think about what you can ask them for support. How can they help you? All right, so I hope this 5-step process is helpful. And it's obviously, you can tell, is more than just 5 steps, but there's sort of 5 categories and some little steps in there. And again, go to mindfulnewyear.com and you can download the PDF to walk you through each of these steps. And journal about this, write about this. Give yourself at least like 10 to 30 minutes to go deep into this. You'll be surprised what you find. You'll get some clarity. And if you find it helpful, you can go to mindfulnewyear.com and check out the full course that is launching this Saturday. It is only open from January 18th to January 31st, 2019, and that's it. It'll be open again next year. So if you want to check it out, go to mindfulnewyear.com and check out the full course button right there. And you can see what that's about. It's going to be walking you through not just this process, but now how to implement it with a daily planner, weekly check-ins, and there's an upgrade where you can do one-to-one work with me, and I can walk you through and sort of coach you through this. I have a lot of coach training and mentorship training myself, and I found that extremely helpful in my own life. So I love getting to give that back and help others working to navigate their challenges and apply the yoga and meditation and mindfulness wisdom that you've gleaned to your day-to-day life, because that's where the rubber really meets the road. That's where, like, we're practicing in yoga. What are we practicing for? It's for everyday life, where we get to apply this stuff to our relationships, the choices we make, our habits, you know, and the sort of big, when life really gets challenging and confusing and overwhelming, that's when the practices really can step up to serve us, right? So one of my teachers would say, all the practices are for the phase transition. So when things go in a direction you did not expect, that's when all the practice applies. And that's usually when all the practice goes out the window and we get reactive, right? So that's where we need to know how to apply it. And that's what this course is about, helping you be able to do day to day, week to week. So thanks for listening. And if you like this podcast, leave a comment, review, subscribe, and check out mindfulnewyear.com to get your free PDF while it's still up, and check out the full course. All that is up until January 31st, 2019. All right. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.